From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist. And as always, I brought with me today.
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, you've got your man, your husband, your boy, Keith Funderburk. I'm your co-host.
That's it.
That's look, sometimes you just keep it plain. Just let people know that I'm your co-host.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, you're trying to rush me.
I'm
giving my theme name for the week.
Yes, sir.
And I try to give you a theme name every week for those who don't listen to regularly.
Every
week. And Dr. Funderburk, look, you need to make sure that you keep saying my theme names because you've been slack.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, you've been slack. But today I'm gonna give you a theme name.
Oh, I'm waiting.
Of Uncle Joe.
Why are you Uncle Joe?
Uncle Joe is my real uncle. I got a real uncle. And you know what? Uncle Joe he's the kind of guy, he's still living, he's doing well, but Uncle Joe is the kind of guy that he will help anybody.
Now that is the truth roof.
Yeah, man. And so I was just sitting here thinking, you know what? Uncle Joe, you know, because he would come to my mom and, man, he would cut grass and he would, you know, I don't know, do major house stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, he would take us out to eat. Mm-hmm. I want to be.
You want to be like Uncle Joe?
I want to be like an Uncle Joe.
Like Joe. I want to be like Joe.
Okay, Dr. Funderburk, no, that's not kind of show. See, we do interviews.
Okay, so we're still in that family theme.
That's right, because see, and the theme, of course,
mothers. Mm-hmm. Mothers.
Mothers, yes.
Need love too.
Mothers need love too.
That's right. We do.
That is. Ain't nothing wrong with it. This is part two.
Part two. We got our buddy back.
Yeah.
So we have with us, just like last week, Mrs. Crystal Grice. She is a licensed clinical mental health counselor and a graduate of North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. Crystal, how you living?
Hello. I'm living, I'm going to say like my son, I'm living locked in. He says that every morning when he gets ready for school. Oh, it's time to lock in. I'm getting locked in. So I was like, you know, I love me lock in today.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. I love my little son. So,
Mr. Gavin is locked in.
I love it.
Yes,
I love
he is locked in. So we, in our house, every morning we got to lock in.
I love it. Wow. I love it. He came up, man, that's a really good one.
That's supposed to like lock, look, I'm locked in, Mom.
Focused.
I'm focused.
I'm I'm ready to go.
Okay, so. I love that.
Now, Crystal, our daughter, her name is Charlotte. Charlotte wasn't locked in this morning.
Yeah, I heard her. I think she was a little salty with you.
Man, Charlotte looked at her daddy.
I heard her say something about a shoe or something, didn't I?
She didn't want that shoe that I picked up. She didn't want the pants her mama picked out. And most importantly, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah.
She wanted to lock into that sleep.
In the morning, but at night, man. She is live. I'm like, girl. Okay, anyway, we got distracted.
So, ladies, before we really get into the show, of course, you know, because we're still going off of a Mother's Day thing.
That's right, because mamas need love, too.
Mama need love, too. Mm-hmm. Part two.
Part two.
Okay, so being that we're on a black campus, of course, that's North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University.
That's right.
Can I get an Aggie Pride?
Aggie Pride.
That's right. We got the Aggie Pride right here on the show. But this particular day, we want to talk about black mama sayings. Black mama sayings.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so I'm going to pose a saying. Dr. Funderburk, I'm going to get you first.
Okay.
And then I'm going to rotate to Miss Crystal for the next. Okay.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure if you all know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't know the sayings,
uh-huh.
I'm going to pull your black card.
Oh, what?
At the end of the show, I'm going to let you know if you can keep your black card.
How about this? I'm a black mama. You can't take my black card because you ain't give me my black card.
Okay.
See, I'm a black mama right there. Ain't I?
I mean, really. Right there. Don't let the glasses fool you. Don't let the PhD fool you.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so Dr. Funderburg, things that you might hear from a black mama.
Yes, sir.
So the first saying is, mm-hmm. and you have to finish the line.
I got it.
Fix your face. What? Fix your face.
Oh, I would tell that to my students. Crystal, did I used to say that when you were in class? I can't remember.
You may have.
But I definitely would, because, you know, in our profession, we hear a lot of stuff, right? And we can't go around and be shocked and surprised at everything somebody might say. So I was like, y'all gotta fix your face.
Fix your face.
Don't be looking twisted and somebody dropped a bomb on you.
So what does that mean then? I mean, when you mean fix your face?
That means you gotta hold it together. You know, well, now when the black mama would say it, that means you don't need to look like you have no attitude. You might have to dry them tears up.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely don't need to be rolling your eyes and looking like you want to come out your mouth with something. No.
All right. I got you then, Dr. Frederick. You got number one.
Uh-huh.
All right, Miss Crystal, this one is for you. Don't play with blank.
I would say don't play with me. That's what I would hear.
That's right.
Don't play with me.
Boy, don't play with me. I'm not one of your little friends.
Not one of your little friends. That means you pushing. Don't push the line.
Oh, Dr. Funderburg, man, y'all are definitely a black mama, because the next one is, I ain't one of your little.
Okay, well, I just said friends. It. See, that's right.
I ain't one of your little friends. What is that all about then?
That means respect me. Okay, little boy, little girl. That's right. You get too comfortable with yourself. Respect me. Respect what I said. And go on over there and have several seats. Thank you very much.
My.
Okay, love you, mean it, though.
Okay, here we go. Here we go, Crystal. This is for you. Because I said.
Because I said so.
Oh, man. Ding, 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 ding. Because
no
I
question.
Said, yeah, that's right. Because I
you
said
don't need an explanation.
Because I said so. And then don't try to come out your mouth with something else. Well, who are you? Why you say? Then that poor little child is like, wow, this is what the future looks like. Because they just got slapped in the next week. We do not condone abuse.
Not at all.
Okay, so this is our last trivia, last one.
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean, now this one can go a couple of ways, but.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Dr. Frumby, I think you're going right back to you.
Okay.
Don't
act like you grown.
Ding, 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 ding.
Don't act like you grown, because you ain't never grown, okay? You might be 50 years old, okay? But
never.
You ain't grown around mama.
Yeah. It's quite interesting, you know, but my mom has passed on. You know, I do recognize my mom, and of course we do recognize Nanette, your mother, Annette Brown.
But she's still here.
Yeah, she's still here. Man, I was just over at my mother-in-law this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mother-in-law still got it, y'all. She's still cooking them
greens and
cornbread.
And you know how she does. She don't even really plan anything, but it's just in the freezer. She just go pull something out, and it's like, oh, that was good.
That was good. Crystal, in recognition of Mother's Day, what about your mom?
Yes, my beautiful mother, Mrs. Marilyn Washington, with her cooking self, and honoring my mother-in-love, who is no longer with us, but still in our hearts, Ms. Melissa Grice. So loving on both of them this season.
Yeah, wow. Definitely so.
You're listening to How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. today we've got, man, a really good friend of ours, Crystal Grice, and she's talking to us today about mothers and why mothers need love too. This is our part two session. So, Dr. Funderburg, what you got for us?
Well, I was just going to jump right into a question. I was going to throw out there, how does motherhood uniquely impact a woman's mental health or mental wellness?
Yes, it's a simple and complex at the same time. But I would say one of the things to consider is with motherhood, and by motherhood, whether that is through childbirth, fostering, adoption, blended family, however you become a mother, when you come into to care for a child, you have a dynamic shift. You get into this cycle of constant change. So from early motherhood to late motherhood, you're always in a space of adjustment. And so that alone just kind of affects your wellness. So like being able to learn how to navigate with the changes and the loads, because now you have this new level of responsibility and that's something that you haven't done before. So even if this is child number five, this is a totally different child. So what worked for one and three might not have worked for two and five, you know, so you're always in a space of learning and changing. And that can greatly impact your sense of wellness and mental health.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is so interesting. You know, I was looking at some research and it was talking about the brain of a mother, you know, because there's something about a mother's love. Research is showing that the brain of a mother, it changes where it makes them more empathetic. It changes their decision making and even some of the processing of information. At the granular level of the brain, once as you're becoming a mother, you know, we know about all the hormones and all the things that take place there, don't you, Dr. Funderburg?
Yeah, we talked about them gangsters last week.
That's right. And again, for those that didn't listen last week, what do you mean about gangsters and the hormones? What do you mean?
Oh, well, you know, just the hormones, you know, it's not, number one, they don't just impact women and they don't just impact mothers. They can impact men as well. But I hear about it often from women and the changes that hormones can make, especially the changes I noticed in pregnancy. I was like, my goodness. It's like anything the body can do, the body will do during pregnancy. There's a part of my thigh that's still numb.
Even to this day.
Even to this day. After pregnancy. And so that's what I mean with the hormones. They just kind of do what they do. You know, we couldn't eat certain things. We couldn't smell certain things. Or we could smell everything. And certain foods turned on us. I couldn't eat sugar. For whatever reason, I would try to eat sugar. And I mean, that was, you know, as I look back, I think it was a blessing, but I look, I think about it and I'm like, I tried to eat. You had brought some sugar cookies at one point that I loved and I went and made some and I ate them. And that was when I realized, oh, this baby means business.
So let me ask this question then, Crystal, did you, you know, looking back at giving birth, you a new not a new mom, but you know, you just had your second child. So did you also, are you experience hormonal changes?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, the mood shifts because your body is just one minute you got energy, the next minute you're depleted. You could be happy one minute, next minute you're like, okay, I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to talk to anybody. So you go through those and that whole, yes, that change in the smells and the taste, things that you used to like to eat, not being able to eat. All of it. So you're constantly adjusting and it's just like, I don't even know who I am right now, because what I usually do, I can't do.
And you know what? I think I'm kind of speaking off the top of my head here, but you know, you were talking about the changes that occur in a mother's brain. And we, in this last couple of minutes here, we've been talking about a mother who goes through pregnancy, but I believe I have seen information on how there are physiological changes in people who become mothers, even if they don't go through pregnancy. I'm really thinking of more adoptive mothers. So they've taken on this role and they've willingly taken on this role and they've stepped into it 110%. And that caregiving piece, that empathy piece, that decision-making piece, I'm not saying there are hormonal changes there, although there may be, because there is that skin-to-skin contact. There are those mm-hmm. things that can start those various hormonal shifts. But I think this piece starts to introduce the social piece of it, the way that society will look at a mother who is caring for a child, like almost like the mom has more responsibility, which we know she doesn't. Dads, we are not negating you. Right. We are not negating you. But I think sometimes it is viewed that way, right?
Right, right.
Anyway, I jumped onto a topic that I didn't mean to to start talking about, but especially that adoptive piece. There are changes, I think, that adoptive mothers feel as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is just so important. And I want to ask this question. Crystal, let me ask you this question then. For a new mom, maybe she's had birth and she's 3, 4, 5 months into her child, but she's not feeling that warm and fuzzy. You know, she doesn't enjoy diaper changes. She doesn't like to hold her child. She's not gooey and awe and, you know, like you guys are talking about. But this particular mother is like, I wish somebody would just come by and just hold his child because I'm just not feeling it. What do you do? What can we say to that mother that's not feeling like being a mother?
I would say the first thing is validating that, because sometimes there are mothers that, whether it's postpartum depression or just they haven't had the emotional connection yet to the child or being a mother, not say that they don't love their child, but being a mom, that role, they haven't kind of completely transitioned. It's not wrong. You know, and so sometimes you don't want to hold your baby. So not making them feel bad for where they are. Where they are is that's their process. So, hey, I understand. You know, let me hold the baby. You know, I'll take that. You can do something else. Let me give you a break. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so taking your time to figure out what motherhood is going to be like for you, what being a mom is going to be like for you. And if you feel like it's off for you, then definitely seeking some help, because you may be experiencing some postpartum depression, but definitely not going to make you feel less than because that is your experience with having a child.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you saying that, because there definitely are folks out there who, after everybody comes home and all of the hype, so to speak, is over, it's like, ooh, okay. For some, it is just me and that baby. And the lovey-dovey feelings are not always there. Sometimes they do, a lot of times they do show up later on. But when a mother is feeling like they don't have that connection, that's one thing. But then there's also the judgment that kind of comes from themselves sometimes.
Yes.
Of how do I have this new little person that was inside of me for however long? And how do I not have, you know, good feelings about this little person I'm quote unquote supposed to, you know, feel a certain way, feel the love and everything. And sometimes it does take a minute for everything to fall in place. Plus, if you go back to the hormone shift that we mentioned, you know, after birth, there's a huge shift in hormones, like within, I don't know what that within that day or the next couple days, I believe. Do you know off the top of your head, Crystal?
I don't know the exact time frame, but it's, you know, shortly after that, because it's like, oh, you know, once the, I'm trying to be medical because I'm no medical doctor, but once, you know, the placenta is out and all of those things, the body's starting to, you know, start to make those changes. Those things, those hormones can drop, like, and that can take a long time to recover from. So it's not, and it may not even just be not feeling lovey-dovey towards the baby. It may just be, I'm not connected to emotions, period, because of that. So it's not that maybe I don't love my child. I may love my child, but I can't connect to that emotion because my body is not in sync yet.
Yeah, your body just went through a little tornado. It makes sense when you kind of explain it, when you're experiencing it, not to mention any, if there are any drugs in your system that are coming out of your system, you know, some, which my hat's off to these folks who go through the labor process without drugs. Whew, I have a friend who did that two times, and we call her the mama thug because we're like, girl, you did that. Okay. But even that, there's pressure there. Oh, you shouldn't use any drugs. You shouldn't use any drugs, but okay, feel that pain, and then you'll make your decision from there, right? But again, hopefully there's no judgment, but sometimes even the mother herself is judging herself in that process.
Well, you know what? You all are taking me to my next question, which I think is extremely important, though. So, Crystal, again, we're looking at, we talked about those mothers that have the babies, but what about for that mom that may have adult children? Or they, you know, they or bigger kids, you know what, that they might not, they don't feel like the TV mom, you know, they're not the just jumped off the magazine kind of, you know, she's not the cookie baking mama, you know, in essence, she really feels like she's just failing at being a mama, you know, I never got it. I never got this mama thing. I look around my, my own siblings, girls, you know, my sisters, they did it, but I don't feel it. I feel like I'm failing at being a mama.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, definitely you hit something. I'm looking around, my sisters are moms, or I'm looking at how my mom was a mom. Remove comparison. You know, you are living your unique experience as a mom. So you are doing what you have the capacity to do. And if you're doing that and you're giving it what you have, then you're enough. If your children are thriving, if they're healthy, you know, there may be some needs that you may not be meeting, but sometimes it's because we don't have the capacity. I may not have the capacity to be, you know, a certain way with my child because maybe I didn't get that, you know, when I was a child, or I didn't learn that, but it doesn't mean that they won't get it in different ways. So are you doing what you feel like you have the capacity to do, and give yourself credit for what you have done? We look at Claire Huxtable, or we look at, you know, some of these other super moms, but I probably couldn't do that with all them kids. You know, so we look at those prototypes and we think that that is how it should be. And we make our expectations of what we see, but let me look inward and see what I have in me. Am I giving what I have in me? And if I am, then that is what is making me effective. I'm winning. I'm not failing if I'm giving you who I am.
And you know what? I was watching someone online the other day, and she's a famous celebrity. I'm not going to mention her name. And she was talking about a time that her son was, in her words, acting a little crazy. Y'all know I don't like that C word, but this is what she said. And whatever he was doing it big. And she said to him, "You know what? You are a great man. You are a wonderful husband. You are a," and she just kept saying good things about him. Good things, good things, good things. In the midst of him acting crazy, again, her word, not mine. And he looked at her and said, "You don't even believe that yourself." And she laughed and she said, "Well, maybe I don't, but you know what? I'm still going to say it because I know one day you're going to be it." And right now, everything has totally changed. She loves what her son has turned into and who he has turned into. And he is this great person. He is this great husband. He is this great father and all of these things now. But in that moment, she was not feeling like Mother of the Year. She maybe even from his perspective, she was not Mother of the Year, but she stood her ground with what she knew was right. She didn't compare, like you said, Crystal, remove comparison. She didn't compare herself to maybe some of her other siblings or other moms that she might have seen on TV or whomever else. But she did what was the motherly thing to do, and that was to speak wholeness and goodness and life into her child.
Wow. You know, I was watching children's cartoon, and one of the things this particular mother was telling her child, her little children, she said, "In the beginning, I felt like I was comparing myself to other mothers. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted my child to be achieving. I want them to be potty trained by 1 month. I want to make sure, you know, they know three languages by three, you know, all mm-hmm. these other things. Uh-huh. I'm being extra.
Facetious. Uh-huh.
But the real deal is that she learned that it took somebody else, another person to tell her, look, you run your own race.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the key.
Mm-hmm.
You got to run what is given unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at the TVs. Don't look at your social media. Mm-hmm. We all got to run our own race. And that's how we get through this thing called life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not great.
It's not fair all the time either.
No, mm-hmm. no, it's not mm-hmm. fair.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Dr. Funnenberg, we've mm-hmm. got a minute.
Whoa.
Okay. Man, the show was just like rocking.
It really did.
But if there's a mother out here that's listening mm-hmm. and you want them to take away one message,
mm-hmm.
give me that one message in 45 seconds.
No pressure. What I would say is, and I feel like I'm piggybacking on some of what Crystal has said. If I wrapped it up, I would say, raise your hand as high as you can raise it. And then I'd say, okay, now put your hand down.
Okay.
And then I'd say, now raise your hand just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
If you had really raised your hand as high as you could have raised it at the very beginning, then you wouldn't have been able to raise it just that little bit more with the second question, right?
Okay, right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if we give it our best from the outset, we can't give anything else. So the goal is, ask yourself, is my hand raised up just kind of like in the air, or is it raised as high as I can raise it? Did I do my best? If I did my best, mm-hmm. now I didn't do Crystal's best,
right.
but I did my best.
Right.
I can't do anything else.
Wow. Y'all, that's mm-hmm. what it's all about. Again, we have Crystal Grice. She's been talking to us today about being a mama. Mothers need love too.
We appreciate her so much for joining us again. And like Keith has said, we've run out of time. I bet we kind of went a little bit over. Sorry, y'all. But join us next week on
How You Living, a show about life with the Funnenbergs.
Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Living with the Funnenbergs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Living with the Funnenbergs on 90.1 FM WNAA.